Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
How many was up at the crack of dawn today? Everyone with kids up early. Except Joe, I had to wake him up. Joe, come on, aren't you going to get up? No, Joe was out wandering around early. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to John 3:16 and just kind of keep your finger there. And on the back of the bulletin, you can see the verse. And it's going to be towards the end. But I hope that you will take this and just think about this verse and reflect on it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we just gather in his name this morning to celebrate him. And Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds as we look at the Christmas story, as we reflect upon Jesus' life and what he means to us, Lord, that you would just open up our hearts and just flood us with the joy of knowing our salvation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas. I'm so glad to celebrate this beautiful morning with God's people, celebrating the greatest gift ever given to mankind, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I trust you've all opened your gifts and are ready to catch up with families and friends. I know we are. It's truly a remarkable time of year. The lights, the fellowship, the music, the laughter, the phone calls to loved ones, and the food that is everywhere. I've pretty much given up on trying to keep away from the food. And now I'm in just try to survive mode. I figured if I can just get to the end of the year, I'll just pick up where I was and truck on, because it just seems like I just want to walk around with a sign which just says, do not feed the pastor. But this is impossible during this time of year, because everybody's dropping off food. Like, I need more. And Joe is very happy. We are all happy. I mean, there's so much stuff laying around the house. You just can't escape it. I love this time of year. It is something special. And everything seems to mean a little bit more for whatever reason. You can say it's the spirit of Christmas, whatever it is, but we all seem to be closer together. And maybe it's just that the weather drives us all indoors. I don't know, but it just feels like that to me. Everything just feels more together. I even notice in my own family, we're all out in the living room together doing things. We're around each other a little bit more. It just seems that way. I know this isn't felt by everybody. Christmas can be tough on others, and I know that, especially those who lost loved ones through the years. Traditions that used to be celebrated now seem lonely in their ways, because it is the end of the year, and we find ourselves looking back and reflecting upon life, the good and the bad. We are shocked how fast the year went by. I know I am every year. This time of year, I'm always shocked that this year just flew by. And I'm told the older I get, the faster it goes. Is that true? I know. But I think this all fits into the Christmas story. It's all part of what Christmas is. It's a time to look back in life and to celebrate with one another this thing called life, and to look forward to a time when all things are new. Because we all look forward to the new year and what's going to happen. We all think about these things around this time of year. We've spent a month now looking at the greatest gifts that God has given us. We've done a whole series of messages on the great gifts. And we've reflected this whole month on what God has provided for us. And one of the great things He has given us is the Bible. It's the greatest book ever written. And it has passed the test of time. It has guided the lives of believers, and think about this, for over 4,000 years. The book you hold in your hand was written by the Holy Spirit as He moved in men and carried them along with the words. It is the Word of God, and it is trustworthy, and it is true, and you can build your lives upon it. The Bible. We can draw strength from its words, and we can read it to others to comfort them, and we can read it to know God. I was visiting someone this week, and you know, we're talking, and after a while of the talk, you run out of things to say to try to comfort somebody. So I grabbed the Bible and just started sharing verses. I can tell you it changed the whole entire conversation, because weeping started and then joy, and just knowing that the Word of God comforts us in that way. There's things that we can't say, but the Word of God penetrates our hearts in ways we don't even understand through the Holy Spirit. And so we give thanks. In the Bible and its pages, we can learn of God. We can know His nature, His love, His justice, His holiness, His grace, and His mercy. The Bible is a great gift. We've learned that. And we should treasure it. We've learned that of the great gift of prayer, that through Christ, through His sacrifice, through His work on the cross, and by the shedding of His blood, and by our faith in His works, we are children of God, heirs to a throne, and we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. That means a lot, the thought that I have a God who can sympathize with my pain and my sorrow, my joy, in my peace. He knows all of it. He's the high priest who can sympathize with our weakness, because He too was human. He too knows what it means to suffer. And we can approach Him, and He knows our pain, and He can intercede on our behalf in the presence of God. And we can receive mercy and find grace and help at the proper time. Prayer changes us and molds us. Prayer is a great gift that we have. A great gift. We've learned about what a great gift the Holy Spirit is. God with us, God in us. As we put our faith in Christ alone, we are filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit. He is the counselor who guides us and opens us up to the Scriptures. He teaches us and gives us the words to say. He glorifies the Son by convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and points them to Christ, who alone can save us. The Holy Spirit is a great gift, and without Him, there would be no Christmas, no church, no Christians, because there would be no Christ. The Holy Spirit is an incredible gift, and He is with us always. He never leaves us. It's a great gift, God in us. And now we come to the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. This gift is a precious gift, the greatest gift ever given. This gift is the gift of all gifts. In fact, it is the gift that is so great that we give gifts to others because of it. This gift was a child, not just any child. He was a king. He was the King of Kings, and He deserved the finest of everything. The finest palace, the finest linen. The best the world had to offer. and the adoration of all the people on earth. Yet he chose to be born in a manger with livestock nearby. He was wrapped in the simplest of clothes. His bedding was straw. And those who came to worship him were the lowly shepherds of the fields around Bethlehem. This was no ordinary king. He came humble and full of grace. He was a baby, innocent and helpless. He was the truth and the light of the world, but the world could not see him because the world chose to live in darkness, the Bible tells us. He came to set the captives free and give sight to the blind. He came to mend the brokenhearted. He came to give life. He came to give the good and the perfect life, the life you and I can only dream about. He lived in perfection. He was without sin. He lived a life for you and I. And he lived a life to please the Father who sent him. He came and took up the cross for our transgressions and our sins. Having lived the perfect life, he willfully and joyfully offered himself up as a sacrifice for us all. In this single, incredible act, this king took on the sins of the world and nailed them to a cross. He was buried in a rich man's tomb. The stone was rolled and set, and the tomb was sealed, and guards kept watch in case someone might try to take his body. And on the third day, something incredible happened, something never done before, something beyond words. This king rose from the dead. He was buried, and now he was alive. He walked and talked to people. He saw over 500 different folks. And he ascended into heaven, where he sits at the Father's right hand. This King of Kings, is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the reason that we give gifts to others. Jesus is the reason that we gather and we celebrate together. Jesus is the reason that we sing songs of praise and we put up lights for the world to see. He is the reason for the season. Celebrate Jesus Christ and tell the world his story. That's what we have emphasized for over a month now. His incredible story. And I think when we look at the story of Jesus Christ and his life, it is best summed up in John 3:16. So if you have your Bibles there, let's look at it. And it's going to be a little bit different because I'm going to read it from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, which translates it just a little bit different. And you'll see the point in a minute. John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And so we're just going to go through verse word for word. For God always takes the initiative. All through history, God is always taking the initiative. He created us. And even after the fall, he took the initiative and made clothes for Adam and Eve. And he provided a way back to him by giving his one and only Son. God is the great giver, and he always provides and always gives. Loved. God loved. God is love. And he puts his love into action. Love drives him to give. Love is God's greatest motive. It's why he does the things that he does. It's out of love. And from love, he gives. It's his greatest motive. The world. God looks at the world and sees everyone in need of his love. Just look around the world today and just look at the mess that we see. Right now, I think more than other time that I can think of in my short life, the world is in desperate need of love. I mean, I just can't help reading about my brothers and sisters in Christ being blown up just in a Christmas mass just last night. There's no love there at all, not even on Christmas. This world is in desperate need of love. Everyone is in need of forgiveness, and everyone is lost in sin and separated from him by their sin. He has compassion on us. He even displays grace to us when we don't deserve it, because we are all like sheep without a shepherd. Sin makes us the enemy of God, and from his love, he reaches out to us because we are in great need. In great need. Just look at the need around you. You don't even have to drive anywhere to see the need for Christ's love. In this way, God didn't just so love the world. And I'm not knocking that verse for saying so love. But there's something missing there. And I think about it that he did something. He didn't just love something. He did something. He displayed his grace by giving. He didn't have to, and we certainly don't deserve it. Yet God displayed the greatest grace by loving the world in this way. He gave. The great giver gave the greatest gift, and by doing so, performed the greatest act ever done. Nothing in history compares to what God did by giving his son. God became flesh, made his dwelling among us. Don and me were out in the lobby, and he was talking to me about this reality, how it was giving him goosebumps, the thought that God would be born in flesh, that he would walk among us, make his dwelling among us. I don't know if you comprehend what that means. So when we pray to God, he knows us. He knows what we're going through. He knows what it's like. He's not so distant and so far away that he can't comprehend what it's like to be human. He was human from birth to adulthood. That's amazing to me. No other religion in the world can make such a claim. Nobody. His one and only Son, Jesus, the Son of God. He is called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. His name, Jesus, means God saves. Was born to us. He lived among us. He took up residence. I love that line. He took up residence. He came humble and full of grace and truth. The greatest gift ever given. He lived the perfect life and gave his life for our sins. He did this joyfully and was raised from the dead according to the scriptures on the third day, so that everyone who hears this story, who confesses, everyone who believes, this is the greatest invitation given to mankind. None are excluded. God gives everyone an opportunity. It is for all. The Bible is clear. It is the greatest invitation given. Who believes? Those who hear the message, whose heart God draws and opens their hearts. Those who believe make the greatest decision they'll ever make, because they put their trust in Him and Him alone. It is the greatest decision you will ever make. And it echoes for eternity. It's the eternal decision. In Him. Jesus Christ, the greatest person who ever lived. We opened up with this verse. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given us. And the government will be on His shoulders. And He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and the prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish that. That is Jesus Christ. Will not perish. From Isaiah 53, it says this: Who has believed what we have heard? And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed to? He grew up before Him like a young plant, like a root out of the dry ground. He didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look upon Him. No appearance that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like some people turned away from. He was despised. And we didn't value Him. Yet He Himself bore our sickness. And He carried our pains. But we in turn regarded Him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, punished for our peace was on Him. And we are healed by His wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished Him for the iniquity of us all. In Christ, we have the greatest deliverance. In Christ alone, we are saved from the wrath of God, and we are saved from eternal punishment. It is in Christ alone. There is no other name under heaven for which there is salvation. The Bible is perfectly clear on that. That is not from Pastor Steve. That's the Bible that says that. And I believe the Bible. But is the greatest difference. It means the difference between life and death. It holds our eternal destination. We can possess with great certainty that Christ, we are saved, and nothing can separate us from His love. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or the danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in these things, we are more than victorious through Him who has loved us. For I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:35-39. Eternal life. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. and the sea no longer existed. I also saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from the heavens from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice come from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will no longer exist. Grief, crying, pain will exist no longer because the previous things have passed away. And then the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. He also said, write, because these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give water as a gift to the thirsty from the spring of life. In Christ, we have eternal life. Christ is the greatest gift ever given to us. And those who have put their faith in Christ will spend eternity with Christ. I can't think of anything greater, a greater hope to carry us. A greater gift there isn't. And I hope that this morning, as we are all going to depart here soon, and we're going to go home, and we're going to get wrapped up in life and celebration with one another. And I would hope at some time this day or the days to come that you would take out this bulletin and look on the back at the greatest gift and just read through that yourself and just reflect upon John 3:16, the greatest gift ever given to us in Christ. And that you would trust in Christ. When those times get hard for you, that you would remember these words that have been said here today and that you would put your faith in Christ. And know that no matter what happens in this world, we have a hope in Christ that is eternal. And that this here, now, is temporary. We think celebrating Christmas is good now. Wait till you're in heaven before the throne and the numbers that cannot be counted as the angels are singing, glory, glory to the Lord Almighty. Imagine that, a sea of people who cannot be counted worshiping before the throne. That's going to be a Christmas celebration I don't want to miss. I want to be in that number, and I want you to be in that number with me. So that's what we celebrate this Christmas. That's our hope that we cling to. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long laid the world in sin, in error, pinning till he appeared and the soul felt his worth. A hope, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born. O night divine, O night divine. Merry Christmas to all of you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. For there is no one like Jesus. We're so thankful for the life we have in Christ. And for the hope that we have in Christ, the living hope that carries us that builds us, that strengthens the relationships that we're all in, good and bad. And Christ is present with us. That He does so much. And Lord, I pray as we go through this day and the coming days, that we would just stop and reflect upon this great gift, and that we would give praise of thanks to our Lord and our God and our Savior. And if there's anybody here this morning, Lord, has never put their faith in Christ, and I know we're going to sing a song, we're going to offer an invitation, and maybe they're planted there in their pews and they're not ready to come forward. I pray that you would move in their hearts, and that there would be people here who would put their faith in Christ and Christ alone. And if there's someone here, Lord, that has been struggling this year with their faith, that this morning that you would just strengthen their faith and just let them know your presence. Lord, let us be a people who worship you and turn to you and repent of our sins and give our lives to you and you alone. Lord, I thank you for your Son. I thank you for Blanche. And I thank you for this church. And I thank you for my family. And I thank you for everything. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.